To 1 Thessalonians. We'll be in 1 Thessalonians tonight. And I probably won't take long. I know I went a little over this morning. And I know Pastor's big on that. He always tells me to finish on time. And so I'll be doing that for sure tonight. I won't take too long, I promise. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Chapter 4. We'll be reading verses 1 through 8, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. The Bible says this, starting on verse 1. Furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Verse 2. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we come before you tonight, Lord, asking that you be with us. I pray, Lord, that you give me the right words to say as I preach tonight. I pray, Lord, that as a church, you would open our hearts and our minds to the preaching of your word. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll help us as Christians not just to be hearers of the word, but also doers of the word, Father. And like I said, just be with us tonight and work in our hearts as the word is being preached. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Like I said in the beginning, I won't take long tonight, but this message is important. So I'm just going to ask you to please pay attention. In order for Christians to receive the blessings of God and to be used by God, they must keep their vessels clean. I've heard many times of a vessel. We don't really use that word anymore, but a vessel in the Bible, it just sometimes represents a bowl or a cup. And I don't know about you, but I don't like drinking water. I don't like drinking soda out of a dirty cup. And the same goes for the Lord. God doesn't want to use somebody that is dirty, that is living in sin and in wickedness. Okay, He wants someone clean. He can't bless a Christian that's living in sin. You don't get rewarded for doing evil. You get rewarded for obeying and following the Lord. That's just how it works. And a lot of Christians like to take Christianity as a joke, and don't take their spiritual life. They don't take it serious. And when you don't take your spiritual life serious, it is impossible to have a clean vessel. I mean, you can't be clean. I mean, you're listening to the wrong music. You're doing drugs. I mean, you're always around the wrong crowd. You're hanging around the wrong crowd. I mean, that stuff, it dirties you up spiritually. And God can't use somebody like that. He can't bless somebody that's dirty like that, around sin and living in wickedness. And a lot of people, they have it the other way. Okay, a lot of Christians, they have it, it's the other way for them. They come to church, they wear the long skirt, if it's a woman, and for a man, they, you know, you're dressed well, maybe you help somewhere in the church, you work as a, you know, you serve as an usher, or you do something else around the church, and you look clean, you can look clean, or even a preacher too, myself, I could say myself, you look clean. Okay, but in reality, you're not. And you're living a double life. And Christians think that they can look something and play the part, but that's not the way God wants it to work. He wants to work from the inside out. Amen. And let's go ahead and go into point number one for tonight. Let's look at verses 1 and 2 we can see that instructions already have been given to us. Instructions have already been given to us. Let's read verses 1 and 2 again. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Look at verse 2. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. We see in verse 1 that we have already received of how we should walk in our Christian lives. The Lord Jesus Christ has already given us instruction on how we should live. And you can see a lot of that throughout the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And but because of our sin nature, we make it difficult. Okay, God tells us not to steal. And what does the flesh want to do? It steals, okay? God tells us not to lust. And what do? We still lust. God tells us not to lie. And what do? We still lie. And you know, people can have this viewpoint of Christianity that, oh, God doesn't want us to have fun. You know, God just wants us to live boring lives and this and that. For New Year's, yesterday, I left the party at 10. I wasn't going to stay till 12 because I knew I had to be here early in the house of God. Amen. But I went with some friends, some old friends from my old church. And one of them, she's not in a good relationship. And she's saved and he isn't. And let me tell you something right now. Those relationships, they never end up good. I mean, the whole family is saved there. And she's saved. And her boyfriend isn't saved. But we were there, and I think it was his first New Year's, okay, that he was at a New Year's party where there wasn't drugs or alcohol. And I could tell in his face that he was still having a good time. But he would still play around like, oh, where's the beer or where's the music? I want to play the rap music. And we never did none of that. We didn't let him. But, I mean, The world, I mean, you don't need to do that kind of stuff. You don't need to live that lifestyle just to have, oh, let's have fun. Let's have a good time. You can have a good time without beer, alcohol. You can have a good time without worldly music. I mean, it still works. You can have a good time. Tonight, we planned this yesterday. It was last minute or Friday. I don't remember when it was. Friday. We're going to have a teen sleepover here. For some of the teens. And I already told Pastor about it. Don't worry. We don't need to do something crazy to have fun. We don't need to be going out, messing around with girls, doing drugs, alcohol. We don't need to do that. We could just have a good time there in the room. Play some game, maybe some sports. I told them, some of them, but now you're going to know, they're all going to preach a 5-minute message. And they have to. And I mean, we're going to have a good time, and we don't need to do it in an evil way, a wicked way. And it's not that God wants to stop us from having fun or that he's being strict with us because he's a mean God. He has instructions for us because he loves us and he wants to bless us with more. And that's why he has that for us. Let's look towards the end of verse 1. He says, so ye would abound more and more. It's not that God wants us miserable. If we walk in his ways and please him, we will abound more and more. I don't know about you, but I want to abound more and more. I know the Lord has great plans for me. And you should know as well that the Lord has good plans for you. And if you want to be part of God's plans, I suggest you live with him. Live for him, read your Bible, and pray. And the Bible says we will abound more and more. Let's look at verse 2. We already know the commandments that God has already given us, but we still decide to live the way we want to live. Verse 2. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. I know we don't talk like that anymore in 2023. A lot of it's old English. And when I'm with the teenagers, I'll translate it into our modern day language. Okay, but this is just plain simple. He says, you know the commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. You know, you already know the commandments, right? I mean, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, and there's so many more. Okay, we already know the instructions have all, they've already been given to us. The problem here is trying to follow them. And that's where a lot of Christians fail. They fail in that part. And that's why in the beginning of verse 1, he says, I beseech you, brethren, which the word beseech means to beg. We don't use beseech anymore. You'll say, he's begging me, or you don't say he's beseeching me. No, it just means to beg. And he also says to exhort, which means he's encouraging us. He's begging us and encouraging us to please God. Amen. And I want to encourage you tonight to live for the Lord. It's the new year, and it just happened to land on a Sunday. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. I would like to encourage you to start living for the Lord. Maybe you didn't do so good last year. Well, it's a new year, a new day. Let's go ahead and jump to point number 2. We'll be reading verses 3 and 4. Sanctification is important. Sanctification is important. Let's read verses 3 and 4. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. These are very powerful verses here. Sanctification just means the action or process of being freed from sin or being purified. Every Christian, I believe, will go through that process of sanctification. And the reality is we are all still going through that process. God is always working on us. I remember when I was helping out Brother Bill move. We were passing through the main hall there at his old place. And one of the older ladies told him, hey, Bill, you better behave. And Brother Bill said, well, I'll try. God's still working on me. And Brother Bill, he's an older man. He's 81 years old. And even at that age, God is still working on somebody. Amen. He's old. God is always working on us. He's working on us. And God's going to work on you. I can say right now, I'm not going to tell you everything I've done or what I used to do. But I know, I can just see it in my life. God has worked in my life tremendously. And I know that in my spiritual life, I've grown. Now, I still need to grow more. I'm going to be honest. But I mean, I can see, it's a beautiful thing when you actually try, when you read your Bible and you pray and you set yourself some goals. That's important, setting yourself some goals. You can't just say, I want to lose weight and then try to lose weight and you don't have no plan, no meal plan, no exercise routine. You got to set yourself some goals. Every morning, I'm going to wake up, I'm going to read the Bible, a chapter. I'm going to pray for 3 minutes and probably meditate for a minute or two on a verse. Amen. Set yourself some goals. And I've been doing that. And man, I can tell you right now, I've seen the Lord work in me. And I'm surprised. I didn't think I would ever be able to get to the place where I am in my spiritual life. And like I said, I still need more to go. I need to go through more. I still know it. If we want to keep our vessel clean, if we want to stay clean, we need to stay in that process of being purified from sin. Jesus talked about, I believe it's in John, he's going to have to clean us up sometimes. He's going to have to trim us up. Just like if you have a dead tree here, I'll use one of these trees as an example. Okay, you got a tree, and over the different times and seasons, some of it's going to dry out. And if you know about plants and all that, my dad, he's really good with plants. And he doesn't do it so much anymore because he's always busy with his taco truck now. But I mean, at our old house, he had the best plants in the neighborhood. Everyone was always asking him about his plants. And he had a huge bush and he would cut it and it looked like a duck and all this kind of stuff. But I remember when the time would come, when some of the leaves on the bush or on the tree would die, he would cut it off. It's just dead pieces. That's what God does with our sin. He cleans us up. He purifies us. Okay? And he does that so that we can grow better branches. We could grow in a better spiritual way. And he'll cut that whatever addiction you're struggling with, whatever sin you're struggling with, he'll clean that up if you let him, if you walk with him. Amen? And that is why sanctification is important. We see in verse 3 that it is the will of God for us to keep away from fornication. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. I mean, there's no debate about this. It's clear. It's the will of God for you to stay away from fornication. And a lot of people nowadays, I mean, it's different now. We got the internet. The reality is pornography is just another way of fornication. Even though you're not doing it physically with another person, okay, but if you're engaging on it through a screen, your phone, your computer, TV, the reality is, folks, that's just another way of fornication. And it is the will of God for us to abstain from that, to stay clean. And a lot of don't act hyper-spiritual, you know what I'm talking about. Our world is filled with sin. And to be specific, our world is filled with fornication. Nowadays, it's just acceptable to have multiple partners. And pornography, it's just accepted as well. And for our younger people, it's just normal. I was in high school. Well, it's been 9-10 years since I was in high school. I remember when I was in high school, and you younger guys, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, it's. I remember my friends would just talk about pornography like it was normal. And I mean, if you didn't watch it, you were considered gay. And they said, I remember when I got saved, and I know I've shared this before. I said, I'm not going to talk or flirt with girls anymore. I want to live for the Lord. And my friends would look at me weird, and they'll be like, are you gay or something? They'll say something like that. They'll make fun of you. I mean, the world is just wicked. And they try to make sin, they try to make it normal. Like if it's normal. And that's happening to our young people today with social media, those cell phones. I've already said if I ever have kids, my kids will probably not have a cell phone until they're over 18. There's no need. I don't believe a teenager should have a cell phone. That's just what I believe. I wish my parents never gave me a cell phone until I was over 18. And that would have helped me a lot in my spiritual life. And I've seen parents. I could think of somebody in our Christian school. There's two young men, and their parents haven't given them a phone. And you could just tell them they're different from other teenagers. It's clear, and I don't want to make anybody, I don't want to put anyone down or anything like that, but it's just true. You can tell they're cleaner than other teenagers. Just like in Daniel, when Daniel said they weren't going to eat the king's meat. And they were cleaner, they were better than the rest of the guys when it came to testing. And I can tell you right now, if you don't give a phone to your teenagers, they're going to be cleaner, they're going to be sharper. I mean, these guys that I'm talking about, I mean, you could just tell they're smart. They're not super, super smart, but because of the fact that they're clean, they're sharp. I mean, you could just tell right away. And that's what they saw in Daniel and his friends when they didn't take the king's meat. But just because it's acceptable, folks, just because sin nowadays it's acceptable and normal, it doesn't mean that we should just indulge in it. Oh, we live in different times. I mean, the Apostle Paul didn't have to struggle with the cell phone. Or the apostle Paul didn't have to struggle with how women dress today. I mean, we shouldn't make it acceptable and just indulge in it. God wants us to abstain from it. The world is, like I said, it's very good at making evil look normal. I mean, they brainwash the masses with all this transgender stuff and homosexuality. I mean, like if it's normal. I mean, I've heard preachers. They're older, they're in their 60s, late 60s, 70s, and they'll say stuff like, man, I remember when I was a kid, they would put, if you were a man and you thought you liked men, you were homosexual, they would put you in the hospital because they thought you were mentally ill. And folks, the reality is, that's a mental illness. That's not the way God made it. And it's not normal. But our world, because of wickedness and we're just evil, I mean, they make it normal. Like if it's just normal, but it's not normal. It's a man and a woman. And that's the way God has made it. Let's look at verse 4. God wants us to know how to possess our vessel in sanctification and in honor. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. God wants us to know, okay, how to keep ourselves clean. Okay, you ought to know what's going to trigger you, what sin is going to trigger you. You should know, if I hang around this friend is going to cause me to want to do this and that. Or you say, if I eat past this time, I'm just going to be lazy and I'm just going to be doing this and that. Okay, you should know how to keep yourself clean. You should know what it is that tempts you. If you go out to a party and you know they're going to be having beer and all this other kind of stuff, maybe you shouldn't stay there that long and you shouldn't be around the table where all the beer is at. Okay, you know, you need to know how to possess your vessel, how to keep yourself clean. And as Christians, we need to commit in our hearts and say, I need to be holy and I need to keep myself pure in sanctification and in honor. I remember that the word sanctification just means in the process of purifying. It is important that you don't beat yourself up in that process. You will fail a lot. I can tell you right now for myself, I've failed a lot. Don't beat yourself up. The devil can use that sometimes. I mean, he'll say you're not good enough. You'll never get over this struggle you have. I mean, he'll put all kinds of crazy ideas in your head. Probably even suicidal thoughts. I've heard of cases like that. I mean, and the devil uses that. And he tries to bring in all this negativity into your head, saying you'll never be no good. And I mean, it's a lie. It's a lie straight out of hell. And God wants to keep working on you. He loves you. Just keep on being faithful. And don't stay in that cycle of guilt and shame. Okay? The reality is God is just waiting. If you were to sin, God is just waiting for you to come boldly to the throne of grace. Where sin abounds, grace abounds more. God wants to help us in our struggles and our addictions, whatever it is that we're fighting. Let's go ahead and jump into point number 3 and I'll be done for tonight. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'll finish with this. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll be reading verses 19 through 21. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 through 21. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. God knows who are his children. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. If you name the name of Christ, you ought to depart from iniquity. Iniquity just it means sin. Okay? You ought to depart from sin. Let's keep going here. Verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Two things will happen if you keep your vessel clean. If we stay clean, God can use us in a greater way. I don't know about you, but I want to be used by God in a greater way. And the reality is, I mean, you don't have to be. I can tell you right now, when I was in Bible college, my teachers never looked at me as the preacher guy, you know, the leader. I mean, in Bible college, you're competing with so many other people. I mean, it's just something else. I know, I remember all the guys, all the good preachers in Bible college. I mean, the best preachers, they would have, we do it here at the school too. The arts, what is it called? Fine arts, there you go. And we would have fine arts there at college. And I remember they had a piano competition, who was the best pianist. They had who was the best singer and who was the best preacher. And I would never get third, second, or first. But I remember all the guys that did get first place, second place, third place. They're not even in the ministry. And some of them, they're not even in church anymore. God's not using them. God isn't looking for somebody that's, you know, he's a good preacher. He's not looking for somebody that's smart. I could tell you right now, I'm not the smartest person here, okay? And I'll say that and I don't mind. I mean, God's not looking for that. God's not looking for the best looking one. He's not looking for the tallest one. He's not looking for the one with muscles. I mean, remember they wanted to anoint a new king for Israel, and Saul's time it was coming to an end, and they were looking for a good man with a good heart. And I mean, they went through David's three brothers. They didn't want him. Samuel asked David's father, "Hey, do you have another son?" He said, "Yes, I do, but he's just a shepherd boy. He's out there in the fields." I mean, putting him to the side, putting him down. And that's the one God ended up using. Amen. And I could tell you tonight, God wants to use you. God, he's picked the foolishness of this world to confound the wise. He uses the weak to show the mighty that he's mightier, okay? And he looks for the weak person, okay? Somebody that they probably don't have all these gifts, and they're not very smart. They don't have the smarts. I mean, but everyone that nameth, let's look back at verse 19. Everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Amen. Another verse telling us to stay away from sin if you name the name of Christ. God really does care for us to be holy. And that holiness is important. Young people, if you can put your phones away, please. And I mean, God really cares for holiness. That's the most important thing here, holiness. Let's look at verse 20. In verse 20, God talks about a house where there are vessels of honor and some of dishonor. I don't know about you, but I want to be a vessel of honor. Okay, I want to be a vessel of honor. You become a vessel of honor by living a life of holiness. I want to be somebody that God can use. And folks, let me tell you this. I know maybe some of you in here, you don't take Christianity serious. You call yourself a Christian. You don't take it serious. But one day you'll be standing before the Lord Jesus Christ. And I could already imagine it. When God's judging, I mean, there's going to be a long line. You might even have the Apostle Paul standing right in front of you. And you're going to know, oh, that's the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul won't have to tell us all the things he went through. A lot of it's in the Bible. And, you know, he was stoned. He was beat up. I mean, they were chasing him. And, the Apostle Paul's going to turn around and say, "Hey, you know, what did you do for the Lord Jesus Christ?" I mean, I could just see that already. I mean, I went to church on a Sunday morning, and I put a dollar in the offering plate. I mean, is that it? I mean, we should strive to be a clean vessels, to be clean, so that God can use us. And one day we're gonna give an account to the Lord Jesus Christ when we stand before Him, and we're all gonna stand before Him. Let's look at verse 21. If we stay clean, not only are we an honorable vessel, but we also meet for the Master's use, and we are prepared for every good work. Like I said this morning, in regards to, you know, we gotta dress well. I mean, you just never know if, you know, you gotta be ready to serve. And right now, we just sang a special. I sang a special with Bronson. That was not planned at all. We just practiced that What time is it right now? Let me see here. It's 6:44. We practiced that song at 5:55. We only took about two minutes to practice that. And he said, you know, I'm not dressed well. I said, well, you know, you got to be ready. All right. And I remember I did something like that one time. And I mean, you just got to learn like that sometimes. I mean, you just got to be ready. I mean, you got to be ready. You got to be clean. You never know when God wants to use you. And if you're not ready, I mean, it could get a little rocky sometimes. I've had some teenagers that tell me, hey, I want my friend to get saved. Well, I've only gone through the plan of salvation 1,000 times in the teen Sunday school. I mean, I don't know why you're asking me. You want me to go give them the gospel. You should know how to give the gospel. If you got a coworker, a friend, okay, somebody that's not saved, folks, I mean, you should know how to give someone the gospel. And if you don't know, you should come to me, a brother Urban, a lady, Miss. You can go to Mrs. Sanchez or Miss Marguerite, Mr. Mendez, Mr. Dalman, and we can show you how to share the gospel with somebody. It's important that we're ready and that we meet for the master's use and that we're prepared for every good work, just how the Bible says, and prepared unto every good work and meet for the master's use. How are you taking your spiritual life? I mean, are you serious about this? Are we playing Christianity? We're just coming to church. You know, that's how I grew up. I'm just going to come to church. Or some of I live with my mom and dad and they force me to come to church. Is that your attitude? Is that your mentality? Are we going to start taking the Lord Jesus Christ serious? Let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes.